Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody!
Hello!
Hi, my name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched The Night Sitter.
The Night Sitter.
Night Sitter.
Night Sitter. You don't have to do it.
There's something trying to get me. Three of them, actually. They find me in my dreams when I'm laying in bed at night. Right inside my closet. Waiting for me. To hurt me.
So this weekend, there's like nothing playing in
the
theaters.
There is like jack booty in the theaters right now. Nothing. I think this is like one of the rare weekends of the year where there were no like big releases.
Yeah, there's some indie films that I want to see, but a lot of them aren't quite available to me.
That we talked about it on a Hypecast. The like the Frequency movie, Don't Let Go, Never Let Go.
Right, yes.
I think that opened in some theaters
this
weekend.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing that opened this weekend.
But it's not playing near me.
Yeah, so instead we saw The Night Sitter, which has been on streaming for a little bit. We've talked about it on a Hypecast before.
Was it a movie that deserved more hype, or did we just talk about it normally?
I think it was a movie that deserved more hype.
Okay.
It's about a girl who goes to a house to babysit, but she's secretly there to rob them.
We'll put secretly in heavy quotations.
Yes, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
And she
and witches
finds
ensue.
Out. Yeah, and witches ensue because
witches
of the
witches ensue. The house is haunted
boys.
By witches.
Yeah. That's pretty much the plot. It takes place entirely at the house.
Yeah.
It's fairly low budget, but it doesn't feel like they ever had to make sacrifices for their budget. Like
not,
it's just
not really. I got a little worried there for a minute, but once the gore starts happening, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So Tom, how did you like The Night Sitter?
It's not very good. It takes a while to get going.
This movie, the first act happens about an hour into the movie.
Yes.
And that's probably the biggest problem, and it's a very big problem with this movie.
Yes.
Because there's a lot I liked about this movie. Its heart was in the right place.
For sure.
But it really didn't get started for a very long time.
Yeah, we spend a real long time just chasing our tails with some of the worst written and worst acted characters I've encountered in a movie like this. So,
yeah.
So it's like, oh my God, like when are we going to get to the fucking witches? Like
that was the thing is that I didn't mind the acting and I didn't mind how the dialogue was bad. Mm-hmm. If they had just gotten to the gore,
we got
way
into the witches
quicker.
Faster. Yeah.
It was really weird for that reason. It was
it's
like imagine
it's
like a
seriously
Friday the 13th
over halfway
movie.
Through the movie until anything starts to happen.
Yeah, like imagine
like
a Friday the 13th movie, but you're like you have to stay with Crispin Glover for like most of the movie, which bad example because that would be
minutes.
Great. Yeah.
This movie is an hour and 20 minutes long and they don't even learn that like the witches don't even show up until 48-49 minute mark.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's a big problem.
Yeah.
I liked that they kill a child.
Oh yeah, I hated that kid and I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah, I don't know if they made the kid because the kid wasn't very good as an actor and I feel mean saying that, but it worked in the fact that he gets murdered.
Right, it worked that they made him shitty. Like yeah. I went back and forth on that. It's true, he's not very good, but at the same time, I was like, but he's making me hate him, so maybe he is good?
Right.
Because he's written as a shitty little kid, and he's being pretty shitty, so.
Right. So all right. So she shows up, and there's the father who's a paranormal investigator.
Yeah.
And he's like a real douchebag about it. He leaves his show on, his right. sizzle reel on.
Yeah, he just has his sizzle reel playing in the background. This actor's okay, but like when he goes up, like his son's been having dreams about these witches, and when he goes through his son's journal, like, I mean, we immediately know he's up to something before yeah. he leaves, because he reads his son's journal and sees all these drawings of the witches, and he arches his eyebrows like a cartoon cat.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like, when he's, like, trying to be sneakily devious, it's the most cartoonish representation of it. You're like, oh, well, fuck. This guy's clearly up to something.
Right.
But the funny thing is later, like, he intentionally summoned the witches, but later he's like, no, they're not going to get my son. They're going to get the shitty kid. It's like, you saw the witches in your son's book.
Yeah.
Like, clearly they've made contact already.
Yeah, he's a baffling character. I like that he was willing to murder a child. For this,
just to see a ghost. He's a kindred spirit with Fox Mulder.
Yes. Oh yeah, for sure.
He really just wanted to see a ghost. And that's seriously it. He just wanted to have a paranormal encounter because he's never had one himself.
Right. It's weird that, I mean, I know we're thinking too far. Like I shouldn't be picking this movie apart so much, but it's weird that he doesn't just read from the book then, right?
Say again.
It's weird that he doesn't just read from the book because,
yeah, I don't know.
Wouldn't that get him his paranormal encounter? Like, he almost guarantees not getting one because he leaves the house with the kids with the book. So if you want to have a paranormal encounter, like, step one, you got to be there.
Yeah, I think there was some plot gobbledygook involved. Like, the witches really only come after kids, which doesn't really make sense because they kill everybody in the house.
Right. Man, this movie...
So I guess he just thought that he needed to have a kid there as bait.
This movie had its heart in the right place at times, but it really is kind of like, it's like several steps away from being like a very bad movie, from being like a,
like Birdemic bad.
Yeah. Like Birdemic levels. Like, that's what's interesting about it. Because like the acting isn't very good. The thing that saves it is it's well put together.
Yeah.
Like, it's well shot, well lit, well edited. And the music's cool. But, Birdemic's a good comparison because Birdemic's another film that, like, takes, like, 40 minutes for anything to happen. Like, there's a scene in this where they're like, okay, well, we know how to fight them. We have the book. Here's what's happening. Let's go. And it was an hour in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, Jesus Christ, this should have been 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
But I think they just didn't know what... It's really unfortunate because they were clearly inspired by the Evil Dead. There's a lot of Evil Dead type moments in this. I mean, for one, it's about a book, an evil book. And there's like demonic possession in it. There's mm-hmm. Evil Dead style gore.
Yeah.
But they just didn't know... They didn't seem to have enough to do.
Yeah, we see a budget limitation. They set up that the family dog has been turned into some hulking creature, but we never see it.
Yeah, you're right. We never see that dog.
And they set it up where she goes outside to like call the dog, and it doesn't show up. And she goes back inside, and it pans over to the doghouse, and you just see this huge cloud of breath coming out of the darkened opening to the doghouse. I'm like, ooh, the dog's gonna come out. He doesn't.
He never comes out.
We they see never its quite glowing deliver. Eyes.
Yeah, they never quite deliver on a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's like it's a kind of a frustrating film because there's a lot of stuff that was like, oh, this is almost something. Like
yeah,
the style of it.
It's almost there.
Yeah. Should we talk about
Go ahead.
I was going to say, should we talk about the robbing technique on the house?
Yeah, the plot to this, I mean, that's part of the biggest, yeah, we should talk about that. And that I think this movie's biggest problem, it just comes from the writing.
Yeah.
Because the plot is that this woman is pretending to be a babysitter so that she can rob the house while the parents are away. But her technique of robbing is to call a team of three people over to the house in
Very
the middle
loud
of
people.
A wealthy neighborhood, pulling up in a Ryder truck.
Yep. And, like, they barely get to robbing.
No, it's yeah, it's...
They're not very efficient. They mostly just talk at each other.
It's maddening how the robbery stuff is written. It's like, why even have this in the movie?
Uh-huh.
Honestly. Because the only reason is to have a bigger cast of characters to be murdered. But it's like, well, then don't do that. Just have her be a shitty babysitter that has a bunch of friends come over. That's all you have to do.
Uh-huh.
We don't need this robbing subplot. Sorry.
Yeah, you can make her... No, you can make her, like, rob... Like, at first she robs, like, cash from the drawer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, that's... That's the level of robbing that you'd expect
from
but
a babysitter.
Up a
sure.
fucking truck, like, what is their life?
No kidding, a Ryder truck, like, it's a big moving truck, yep. And they just pull it up in the front lawn in the middle of this super wealthy neighborhood.
And they have a witness, like that guy.
Yeah, that fucking.
And they don't seem like one of the people who comes is the guy who thinks he's her boyfriend, but isn't.
There are two separate sex pests in this film.
Yes, there are. One of them, the first sex pest, the guy in the garage, I think the twist is that he's kind of a nice guy.
Yeah.
But he still starts as, like,
he
creepy.
Still begins as a creepy sex pest.
Yeah. Because he goes to the door to talk to her and won't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other guy is just, like, he insists that he's her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, "Ugh, you're not my boyfriend." And then that's pretty much it.
She says it several times.
Yeah, and like, it's just like a running joke at that point of like, yeah, this guy is just stalking her.
And he's a big piece of shit. Like, I hated this character.
Right.
He doesn't do anything but thwart their attempts. He gets the other sex pest killed when we actually started to like him.
Yeah. The other sex pest was there for exposition, which is that he just knows about witches.
Yeah, he knows about witches and dark shit.
Which, okay. Man, yeah. I really wanted to like this movie because...
Oh, me too.
If you need exposition, just have them read from the book. That's what The Evil
yeah.
Dead did.
Yeah. Your whole... The premise is around a book. Like, they say it two different times that these three witches were killed in Salem. I'm leaning really close to the microphone so that you guys can hear my eyes rolling.
Yeah.
And that their ashes and flesh were used to make this book. So it's like, oh, so it all stems from this book. So yeah, just have them read from the fucking book.
Yeah.
So that's the exposition.
Yeah, and again, it's so very much like Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. That's a... Man, what a shame. Because the premise is basically just Evil Dead, but in a nicer house.
Yeah.
But less gory... And, like, I mean, when it gets going, that when the girl gets possessed, the woman who is also, they're all just terrible people.
Yeah, they're all terrible. Like, she's, man, and, like, partway through the movie, she starts, like, really caring about what happens to this little kid. It's like, when did this happen?
Yeah.
And, like, the kid's immediately okay with, like, we learn that, like, this kid's mom died a year ago.
Right.
And he's, like, immediately okay with this woman coming in and stealing a bunch of shit from his dad. And then straight up, like, she straight up tells him, yeah, all these people are here because we're robbing your house. It's like, is this kid, like, and he's just fine with it.
Right.
And then she weirdly starts to care about it. She's like, I won't let anything happen to you, Kevin. It's like, what are you, like, what? Like, earlier they were like, well, why don't we just leave? And she's like, well, we can't leave now because one of the kids disappeared. They'll think I fucking kidnapped him.
Right.
So what happened to that character?
I don't know. It's
this
not
movie
great.
Is yeah, it's so frustrating
the more
at the,
I talk
at the
about
writing
it.
Level. Yeah.
Yeah, because again, it looks good.
Yes. It's a it's like
like it reminded like a, me of almost like the Joe Dante stuff. It had a
yeah, it's got a similar look.
Yeah.
It's got a cool poster, like its poster is a real cool throwback poster.
Yeah, and it's like kind of kids, like one of those like traumatizing kids movies.
And then it should have been from the kids' point of view.
Yes. But it just...
Man, I hate to... this is a weird thing to say, but the Mick G film, The Babysitter, is actually way better than this.
I never saw The Babysitter. Is it similar it's, premise?
Kinda, yeah. It's from the kids' point of view. His parents go out of town, and he gets left with the babysitter, who's actually Samara Weaving from Ready or Not. And it turns out she's the head of a satanic cult, and they perform a ritual in the house, and he witnesses it, so they have to try to get him. And it's like him running away from these douchey cultists in his own house.
What's with this premise? Why is this happening?
In this one, like, or the babysitter?
Well, both of these, the babysitter premise.
It's an old...
Yeah, I guess it is. I think it was done best recently. Nah, I guess it's not that recent anymore. House of the Devil.
Yes, I thought of House of the Devil too.
Yeah, I think that's the best version. Although that's a very slow movie.
It is, but there's with purpose and direction. Yeah,
like there's no tension in this.
Yeah,
like, man, what a shame.
I just. It looks cool.
Yeah, again, it looks great. It looks fine.
The effects look cool. It's clear they didn't have much of a budget, but they handled it well for the most part.
Yeah.
Like the witches themselves.
I liked how the witches looked.
Yeah, they're real basic costumes, but they do this real, like, you know, easy visual effect around them to kind of show the magic they're casting, but it works.
Right.
Really, like, yeah, man, once people started to die, then I was like, okay, this is like, this movie's
going places. There's some good blood spurting.
Uh-huh. But it just, yeah, it takes so flipping long to get to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. I don't know about this one, Tom.
It's not very good. I said it at the top.
Yeah.
I think it has like a 4.9 on IMDb.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I don't think this director's done anything.
Yeah. Man.
I don't know. I feel like we should watch a second movie.
We could.
And just do two in one. Because, like, that's the sad thing about this movie is I don't feel like there's...
There's not much to say,
Not much to say about it.
It was just very bad.
Yeah.
Lot of potential. It just never went anywhere.
No, it didn't. It was a real shame. We could watch Starfish.
Oh, yeah. I guess we could. We could watch Starfish.
I bet that's a better movie.
Maybe.
Or it's just as weird.
Yeah. Could be.
I don't know. Yeah, because I seriously don't have much to say about this movie. I watched it, and it was just... I don't know. It was just kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
And kind of bland. And, like... Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. And like it the characters are pretty boring. Like I liked it when the kid died. The witch stuff was okay. And that's
kind
of it.
Man, I loved
it
when that kid died.
Oh yeah, that was
okay,
great.
I'm gonna propose something to you.
Okay.
Let's watch The Babysitter, because it's a similar premise.
Okay.
And then we just come back, and for the next half of this episode we'll talk about The Babysitter.
All right, that works.
I feel like we'll have more to say about that, even though it's directed by Mick G.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
All right, let's.
Or rather, we'll see what you say. All right, all right, guys.
All right, Tom. Let's start the intro again. Let's start the intro again. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone's.
My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched The Babysitter.
The Babysitter.
Another movie.
A second movie.
911. My babysitter is trying to kill me.
Are the attackers in the house?
They're downstairs having a blast.
Alrighty, babes, let's head upstairs and get the blood of the innocent.
This would go viral. I mean, nobody's done human sacrifice.
People have always done human sacrifice.
Yeah, but like, not in America with hot people.
Hey.
This was a good idea. Because I would also count The Babysitter. Tom, how'd you like The Babysitter?
A lot more than The Night Sitter, that's
yeah,
for too. Sure.
I would count The Babysitter also as a movie that I don't think I could talk a whole long time about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad we did this.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've seen it, directed by Mick G.
The second time for me, yeah. Mick G. I wanted to double check, but I read up on Mick G. He's clean, he's okay.
Yeah, I know. That's the weirdest part about him.
Because I often conflate him with Brett Ratner.
Well, here's the thing about Mick G. Has he ever watched The Making of Charlie's Angels? Because I have.
No, I haven't even seen Charlie's Angels movies, to tell you the truth.
Oh, okay. They're not great. Mick G doesn't make great movies, but if you watch any of the making of with him, He's so happy to be there.
Yeah.
And he's like a bro. He's such a bro.
Oh, yeah. He's a music
video director.
And his
name is Mick G. And he's just, he's so happy to be doing what he's doing. And so I get why, like, looking into him, you're like, is this guy a scumbag? Because he could be.
Yeah.
But he's not. At least from what I know. He's just a very excited bro-y dude who likes making movies. And good on him.
Yeah. Gets yelled at by Christian Bale.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't get yelled at. It was the...
I know, but you can hear him on the recording.
Right.
Like trying to calm things down.
Right. Trying to be a director.
Yeah, trying to be the director.
Yeah. So, yeah, McGee has done Terminator Salvation. He did the Charlie's Angels, and he did this.
He's done a few films for Netflix, yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought was fine. I don't know. I really enjoyed a lot of it. It's What's Her Name from Ready or Not.
Mm-hmm.
That made me happy.
Yeah, yeah. She's good as a bad guy.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. It's about a young boy who has like a crush on his babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend, also crush, like a girl his age, is like, you know, she like has sex when you go to bed.
Yeah.
So you should stay up and see what happens.
Yeah.
So he stays up. And they do a good job at setting it all up of them having... Him and his babysitter being like kind of real buddies, and like
they fucking watch Billy Jack on a projector. I was like the
yeah, it's like a rom-com date.
Yeah,
like they they have a good time, and then he gets up to see what happens at night, and she's playing Spin the Bottle with her friends, and it's all kind of cool kids and one nerdy kid, and she is dared to kiss all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she does, and when she gets to the nerdy kid, she stabs him in the head with two knives.
Yep.
And they sacrifice him and use his blood to make a deal with Satan to get what they want. And then the kid learns that they also need his blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. So it's basically Home Alone, but with this group.
Right, with people trying to do a satanic ritual.
Yeah, it has similarities to The Night Sitter in that it's babysitter related, it's book related.
Mm-hmm.
It all takes place in a house. Night Sitter did a better job at one thing, which is answering the question, why aren't they leaving? Night Sitter, they just put some like spells on the house, and it was like, okay,
right,
that's fine.
Where they couldn't open the door. Yeah.
This, I didn't care, to be honest, like, because I was having a lot of fun. But
yeah,
at no point does he attempt to go for help, really.
I mean, he tries. He calls the cops. The cops show up and get killed, and they have him tied up. He tries to escape. But yeah, he does sort of run into the crawl space instead of just like sprinting down the street.
Yeah, that's and a true. Few times he does that where it's like there's other houses. Like he's in a suburb, you know?
Yes, yeah.
But he never really bothers with any of the other houses. And I was
briefly
okay with
at
that.
The end, but yeah. It kind of didn't matter. Yeah, it's just this is my second time watching the movie, and I do it's by no means a perfect film, but it is a lot of fun.
Well, it's like an alternate reality.
Yeah,
like they kind of
this
establish
does not take place on planet Earth.
Yeah, everybody's funny.
Yeah, everybody's doing bits.
Yeah. Including like the bad guys, like when the girl is shot in the boob.
Yeah.
That's all she can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the jock dude without the shirt.
Yeah, that's Robbie Amell, I think. He's Arrow's brother. Whoever plays
Robbie
Arrow
Anal?
On TV. Amell with an M.
Oh.
Or I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. but yeah, I believe he's the brother of the guy that plays Arrow, the Green Arrow on that show Arrow.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, and apparently he was in the X-Files revival.
No, no shit.
Agent Miller?
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he's pretty great in this.
Yeah, because he's like trying to motivate the kid, but also kill him. He's like a gym teacher.
Yeah, he just can't help but be a jock. Like he's like, did you just blow up Sonya? It's like, no, I'm not mad. I'm just like, wow, totally didn't expect that. How did that happen?
Yeah.
A firework.
So
wow, okay. And then he's like, all right, well, do you want a head start?
Yeah.
The kid's like, you're the quarterback, man. He's like, yeah, life's not fair.
Yeah. And then he's climbing
the spray out of it, it bounces off his chest. He's like, come on, man.
Yeah. When he's like climbing the tree to get away from him, he's like, yeah, go on, climb. You got it. Like, he's like encouraging him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you got to run, man. I'm getting close to you. Like,
and in the middle of him trying to, like, he's strangling him to death. And then he hears something. He's like, what the fuck is that? And the kid's like, it's that bully egg in my house. He's like, no. Bullshit. And he like makes him go out front and confront the, like, he stops murdering him to make him go stand up for himself against this bully.
They do. It creates a situation where it's like, you're okay with anything happening because nobody is predictable.
It's the behavior is completely unpredictable.
And it's not just like, it'd be one thing if it was all the killers because it's like, oh, they're crazy. No, it's also like,
it's everyone.
Yeah. Everybody is just a fucking maniac in this.
It's like an extended horror sketch. It's like a really long comedy sketch.
Yes.
Because everybody's behaving like a sketch comedy character.
Yeah.
But not in a bad way. It's like, that could be awful, but this movie's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's got some heart. Like, they make you kind of sad about his relationship with his babysitter.
Oh, yeah, her death scene is good.
Yeah, he's forced to drive a car through his house.
Yeah, and it's like, there's like, unexpectedly, there's like genuine emotion when he delivers the lines where he's like, I loved you.
Yeah, because it was his first crush, it's his babysitter.
They do a good job of like, because he has like a realistic crush on his neighbor who's his friend and his age, but then he also has that super unrealistic crush on, you know, this adult woman that's his babysitter.
Right.
Yeah, but he's like, and I drove a car through you.
Yeah, it's a good arc, because at the beginning, he's kind of this kid who's scared of everything. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like needles. He's the only kid who has a babysitter at his age.
Mm-hmm.
It's about him not wanting to grow up, in a sense. He doesn't want to learn how to drive.
Yeah.
His parents are great.
It's Ken Marino and... oh, gosh. I'm blanking on her name.
I don't know. Just the butcher knife thing where he remembers his dad putting the butcher knife in the dishwasher.
Yeah. Yep.
And a hard cut. His mom giving him a hand job in bed talking about the butcher knife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good times.
It's like, who put the butcher knife in the dishwasher? Oh, that was me. No, it goes in the butcher block. Yeah. Leslie Bibb. She played Ricky Bobby's wife in Talladega Nights.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, everybody, they did a real good job with the casting in this. Because here's the thing, is this is also, to compare it to The Night Sitter, this takes a second to get started. The Night Sitter takes a lot longer. The difference... Yeah,
it's about 25 minutes when the murder happens, I think.
Yeah. The difference is that they got people who are very entertaining.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, I was kind of just enjoying the movie. Up until the murder, just watching these people, yeah.
Yeah. Something I noticed watching this for a second time is that they set everything up, and they really didn't need to. But, they set up the driving thing, and then they set up that his crush, the Melanie or Melissa, her dad's this, like, douchebag who just bought this douchey car to, like, get back at his recently divorced wife, and that's the car he steals. He leaves the toy car in the hallway when he's supposed to pick everything up. Because he's just like, oh, that's clean enough. And the toy car is what one of the guys slips on. The treehouse getting demolished. They go, oh, is that the roof to your treehouse? He's like, yeah, it's getting torn down because it's for little kids. That's the ramp he uses to drive the car through the house.
Oh, yeah.
You know, knife,
it
obviously,
was definitely
they set up.
Watching this movie for the first time, I did know they were setting things up.
Some reason, I didn't notice it the first time. Well, the crawl space they set up.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was just a lot of moments where it's like the crawl space is like, oh, there's a lot of spiders down there. We're going to talk about spiders for a second. And it's like, oh, okay, he's going to go in that crawl space at some point. It wasn't bad because it was done. It wasn't forced. It was just that thing of they were introducing a lot of little elements. Mm-hmm. Like, the treehouse was another one where it's like, oh, that's got to be there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But it also organically fits in the plot of, like, him getting rid of his childhood.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, the very last thing is getting rid of his babysitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. It is him just dealing... Yeah, using all of his, like, sort of his childhood to slay these people.
Yeah, because he kills the other lady with the firework.
Yeah, and the treehouse and the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see. Man.
There's, like, layers.
Yeah, there's some stuff. There's some stuff in this movie. Did you watch Into the Credits at all?
Oh, no. Should I?
Because there's a post-credits scene.
Fuck, what is it?
She comes back.
Oh, okay.
A fireman comes into the house and looks in front of the car, and she's gone, and he's about to leave, and she pops up behind him with a knife, and then that's it.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
She's good. She was a good villain. She's very good villain. They were all good villains.
Yeah, they were all pretty great. But yeah, you're right. The Jack guy was so fucking funny.
He was my favorite. He was amazing.
he's just... I like that when he wakes up, he's tied to the chair, just looking at all of them standing around him. The first thing he says is, why is he shirtless?
Yeah, why is he shirtless? It's a great question. And then I like that he's cutting his ropes, and they're like, you know, we can all see you cutting your ropes in the mirror. And then he just keeps doing it, and they're like, oh my God, he's doing it. He keeps doing it. He's still doing it. There was so many good moments like that. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to call meta moments, but it was taking like a horror premise and making all the characters like just kind of fun and self-aware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's aware that they're in a movie.
Yeah. And for that reason, there's a lot of unrealistic shit in this. I mean, the cops come and they shoot their guns and no one calls the cops again. There's a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Where like they gloss over it and it's. It kind of doesn't matter.
No.
Because you're having a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's not frustrating like it would be if the movie was trying to scare you.
Right. I would compare it to Ready or Not, which is one we just did.
Yeah.
Which is that it's having so much fun that Ready or Not does a way better job at explaining why she's not getting away.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little more realistic, but it's like you just don't care. You want to see this play out because once you realize, like, oh, he's going to end up killing these teenagers one by one in hilarious ways.
Yeah.
It's like a reverse slasher. Like, he's the slasher. He's the one killing them all.
Which is another nice beat when he climbs up into the tree and the jock is circling around doing the Jason noise.
Yeah. That was terrific. Because the jock knows exactly what he is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when he asks him, like, what are you getting out of this? And he's just like, I just like killing.
Yeah, like, he's like, well, yeah. He says, if you kill me, you won't get what you want because they need innocent blood to get their wishes granted by the devil. And he's like, oh, no, you don't get it. I didn't wish for anything. I just want to kill people.
What a fantastic character. What a great character. He's like a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Like he's like a personal trainer that's for trying murderers. To kill you.
Yeah, he's trying to motivate you at the same time.
Yeah. It's such a good combination.
Like he'd be chasing you with a chainsaw and then be shouting, "Get your knees up higher while you run."
Yeah, exactly. This is why like Terminator Salvation is the weirdest McGee movie because it's the least fun.
Yeah, it's so serious.
Yeah, McGee tends to have fun. What? I gotta look him
up. Well, yeah, if you look at his career, most of his movies are like action comedies.
Right, and they're not, none of them are amazing, you know?
No.
This isn't Shane Black.
No, he's fine. I mean, he's not a bad director.
Right.
And there's some neat little stylistic.
Oh, he did Rim of the World. I guess I'll see that.
Which one?
Rim of the World.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think we talked about that on a... Actually, that was the Hypecast that I wasn't there for.
Oh, okay.
But I listened to it, so I was kind of there.
Hmm. Apparently, he did We Are Marshall, whatever that means.
Oh, that's the football movie.
Okay. He did the music video for Every Morning for Sugar Ray.
Oh, yeah. He started out as a music
video
director.
Oh, he did the music video for All Star by Smash Mouth. That is a perfect... That's who we're dealing with.
That's who he is, yeah.
Yeah, that's McG.
That is McG.
He is the director of a Smash Mouth music video.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's how he got started, was that Cameron Diaz liked his music video directing and was like, hey, you should make this Charlie's Angels movie.
Yeah. And I mean, I haven't watched those Charlie's Angels in a while, but I remember them being a lot of fun.
I mean, you know, people liked them. They were hits. I mean, he's not... I feel a little bit bad because, I tend to conflate him with Brett Ratner. So every time I think of Mick G or see his name, I have this immediate, like, ooh, reaction. But then it's
a lot of people do.
Yeah.
A lot of people do because his name is Mick G.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was the name that was given to him. Like, I think he chose that name.
Mm.
I think he told people to call him Mick G.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, again, just it's such a weird thing, but watching the making of Charlie's Angels and watching how excited he was to make movies and knowing that there's nothing like bad about him, like I'm on his side. I'm on
sure.
Team McGee.
Sure.
Like, he doesn't make the best movies,
but boy, does he enjoy
making movies.
Yeah. Like, I had fun watching this movie. It's a brisk, like, 88 minutes.
Yeah, he understands that movies should be fun. And enjoys doing them. I don't know. This he took this premise and he was like, what can I do with this? And was like, all right, let's have him drive his fucking car into the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's use every part of this premise.
Yep, it's a
we
hell
got
of
these,
an ending.
We got these killers, let's make them real weird. Like, let's make them hilarious. And they are.
Yeah, they're all funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and it really didn't matter. Like, what? At one point, one of the girl who gets shot in the chest is like strangling him to death. And the main babysitter just blows her head off.
Yep.
For no reason. She's just like, I didn't like her. And then the scene continues, and it's like, all right.
Yeah, well, it's at that point where, like, everything has fallen apart. And then she sort of reveals that her plan at that point is to kind of
move on.
Yeah, cozy up to Cole, the little kid, and be like, well, we'll just say that they attacked us and that we defended ourselves.
Although I feel like she was going to kill him no matter what.
Probably. Well, actually, it's unclear.
That was my theory, where it was like she's trying to cozy up to him because he's threatening to burn her book at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So she, yeah, the moment true. He has leverage at that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did go with the book. They didn't need to explain much.
No.
It's just there.
They just told us what we needed to know. It's like, yeah, we need blood. You drip it on the page. It gives us what we want.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be any more complicated than that.
If you only have to watch one babysitter demonic witchcraft movie, watch The Babysitter.
Yeah, don't watch The Night Sitter.
Don't watch The Night Sitter. It's a shame, because Night Sitter is more of the underdog.
Right, yeah, I was more excited to watch The Night Sitter. Like, Babysitter was one that I saw... You know, because Netflix, I think it's about 2 years old at this point, but Netflix pushed it for a while. I was like, I don't know. And then I finally watched it, and I was like, this isn't bad.
Yeah, I mean, I was never going to watch it if it weren't for... So in that, I guess I have to thank The Night Sitter for making me watch The Babysitter. Yeah.
Giving me the opportunity to advocate for The Babysitter to you.
Yeah.
I missionaried to you for The Babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I had another thought, and now it's gone forever.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's the worst.
We're talking about books.
We're talking about books
blowing
and burning
off.
Shit and blowing people's heads off.
There's
I don't
some
know.
Spiders.
Who can say? Oh, right. The kid in this is one of the kids in Summer of 84.
Oh. Did we ever talk about Summer of 84? I feel like we did that in a... We did a year roundup, and I think we talked about it in that.
I think we did in the year roundup, yeah. He was the punk kid in Summer of 84. If you remember.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's not bad. All around the cast is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. They all did a great job. I mean, they all felt like mostly unknowns.
Yeah, for the most part. And then, you know, and then they got Cam Marino and Leslie Bibb to play the parents, and they're both pretty seasoned comedic actors at this point. So.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at the cast right now.
The girl's dad was pretty funny.
Oh, I liked a lot with the girl's dad, where she says something like, he's going out with a Protestant.
With a Protestant. Yeah, because he says, earlier Cole says that mistakenly. He's like, oh, you're just getting paid to hang out with me. That makes me a Protestant. And she's like, are you trying to say prostitute?
Oh, right. And then later she says...
she says he's out with a Protestant.
Yeah. It's real good. And then something about him, like, why his car is still up front. He's like, she drove. He's very desperate.
Yeah, she picked him up. He's very desperate.
The way she was talking about, like, she says something like at the beginning, like, he bought that to get back at my mom, but it didn't work because it's just a car.
Yeah.
Like, all her lines are very good, is that she sees right through her father's desperation.
Her dad is completely transparent to her.
Yeah. Yeah, those were great little moments. It's a great bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't need the bullies.
No, I don't. I guess just to show, I don't think we needed a specific bully.
Yeah, they felt forced.
Yeah, I don't think we needed a specific bully. They worked it in because we get a fun bit where the jock stops murdering him and makes him go stand up for himself, and then the eggs come into play because that's how the jock slips and dies. It's because he has egg yolk on his hands.
Right, which is pretty great.
We see him get, you know, beamed in the head a couple of times at school. And like we got enough of an idea, I think, without a specific bully that he doesn't really have any friends. Like, the idea was to just show that he's in that transitional period between adolescence and becoming a teenager where you're
awkward. It's
you're
awful.
Awkward, terrified of everything. You're still a kid, but not really anymore. So it's right. Like, yeah.
Which was a really great, I don't know. It was a really great detail of this film. Mm-hmm. About a babysitter, of putting the kid in that awkward place in life.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, this movie didn't have to mean as much as it did, but it meant something.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't have to do a lot of things that it did.
No, it didn't.
Which is why I enjoy it so much, even though it's not a perfect film.
No. Yeah. It's worth rewatching, I think. Like,
yeah,
I probably,
for sure.
I think I'll probably watch this again. Never gonna watch The Night Sitter again.
No, but I think The Babysitters would be a fun movie to watch with people on like Halloween or something. Like when you have, you know.
Yeah, this is a good back to back with Ready or Not.
Ready
this
or Not,
is a,
yeah,
kind of similar feeling.
Similar tone. I'd probably finish with Ready or Not because that's the home run.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But there's this genre of cat and mouse where the mouse, becomes overpowered and starts
you're
like
next.
Yeah, you're next is another one. I might watch that today.
I haven't watched that in a while.
Yeah.
I need to watch.
What are you gonna watch?
I need to complete the Ty West trilogy. I gotta watch The Sacrament.
Oh, you gotta watch The Sacrament. Everybody should watch The Sacrament. That's a really good one.
Yeah, just thinking of Adam Wingard got me thinking about all those horror guys that are apparently from the same area.
Oh really?
On the East, I think so. Like So it's Adam Wingard, Ty West, and Flanagan, I think, are all from the same area.
Oh, weird. The fuck?
So, yeah, man.
They're from some real spooky area. Yeah, yeah. Everybody see The Sacrament. Now I want to watch that. Either that or You're Next, or maybe I'll watch The Firm. I'm not sure why for The Firm. I just feel like it's time, you know?
Isn't The Firm directed by, like, Sidney Pollack?
Really?
It's somebody crazy directed The Firm. I was like, really?
I mean,
I gotta look that up because I don't want to sound like a fool on my own podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
What a terrible thing for me to do. It fucking is directed by Sidney Pollack, bro.
Everybody watch The Firm.
Dave, it's a 2.5 hour courtroom thriller.
I know what it is. I know what it is, Tom.
Dave, it's 154 minutes. This film
is made
Lord
of the Rings.
You. Yeah.
It's my complete another jam. It's The Firm. Oh, I'm glad we got to The Firm.
Oh man, Firm cast. We should seriously do Grisham cast.
I'll do a Grisham cast.
We
yeah.
should do Grisham cast just
he
for
did,
us.
Just for us, like we don't show it to anybody else.
No. Just like not as like a patron mini series or anything.
No,
it's
just for yeah.
Just because we want to do it.
He did The Client as well, right?
No, the client is Schumacher.
Okay. What is another Grisham? The Rainmaker is Grisham. I just watched The Rainmaker.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Sidney Pollack. Yeah, no, The Client is Grisham.
Okay. And The Rainmaker is Grisham.
Yep. The Chamber.
The Chamber.
A Time to Kill.
A Time to Kill. Man, let's have a Grisham cast. Holy shit.
Real odd duck, odd man out. Christmas with the Cranks.
Really?
Yeah, it's based on a John Grisham novella called Skipping Christmas.
Feels like you're lying to me.
I am not lying.
I guess that'll be in the podcast series.
Yeah, yeah.
Grisham cast.
Grisham cast, man.
Fuck. Mm.
They also briefly turned The Firm into a series.
Why would they do that?
I don't know, man. I mean, wouldn't that delight you, though?
Yeah, I guess it would delight me.
Isn't that what you want?
Yeah. I won't rest until Grisham rules everything. Grisham is the new Disney.
Grisham! Mm. So yeah, that's our We Just Watched on two different movies because the first one was so bad.
This was a weird episode,
you
guys. This
is a weird episode, guys.
I'm not sorry.
I mean, it's kind of perfect.
Yes. Yes.
What else could we realistically have done but do two back-to-back movies?
Well, yeah, and we chose two movies that are similar. Neither of them I felt like needed to be talked about fully. Mm-hmm. It was a good idea. This is a weird weekend. There's not much going on in theaters. So it's Labor Day weekend. So we're having like a weird lazy weekend where we just watch a couple mm-hmm. of movies. And this is what we landed on.
Yeah, man.
And next, I guess I'm going to watch The Firm. Or, damn it, there's so much to choose from. You're next, The Firm. How do you choose between those two?
Probably like a coin. Just like, you know.
Yeah.
Just like flip a coin.
Okay. I don't have a coin near me. I'll do it later. Hold on. Okay, I found a coin. Hold on.
Yep.
All right. Heads is The Firm. Tails is, you're next.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm watching You're Next, and then The Firm.
And then The Firm, yeah, that's right. That worked out, because, like, You're Next is about, like, a house, and, like, the back of the coin is probably, like, a building, right? What coin did you flip?
No, it's the South Carolina coin.
You son of a bitch.
It's the Palmetto State. There's a
How
bird and a tree.
Well, actually, no, that still doesn't work. All right, never mind. I think that's a sode.
Yeah, I think so.
I think
Thanks
we've done
for
our
listening,
job.
Everybody.
Dave, you want to tell them about our Patreon?
Yeah, we got a Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We got exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Check that shit out. Mm. We got a tier where you can watch movies with us. We just watched two Predator films the other night.
We did.
That was fun.
It's a real treat.
We got tiers where you can request your very own We Just Watched episodes and a bunch of other tiers. So check that shit out.
Mm-hmm. We also got a merch store. You can pick up some sweet merch, some hot merch coming at you. tpublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. You get all kinds of shirts and
mugs?
Stuff. Mugs, sure. Posters, stickers, I think. Anything you want.
I think there might even be buttons. I don't want to.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't want to tell tall tales here, but like I think there might be some buttons.
Our store inventory is so incredible. I don't even know what's in it.
Yeah, it's fucked
so,
up.
Check it out.
Check it out.
And that's it.
Yeah, stay tuned for Grisham Cast.
Grisham Cast!
Coming on the horizon, apparently.
I can't wait to really sink my teeth into these Southern lawyer dramas.
Mm.